would like to now to give the parole to Joachim Marzahn, whom we listened before. Scribal techniques in the material of the text from Uruk 4 and 3.
Ladies and gentlemen, the background of the scribal work in Uruk was to maintain the enormous development of economics and the state in a very peculiar way, to help create economic order for the support of the society's success. This is the reason why we find almost exclusively small and useful documents made by hand in order to use it by mind. It was the birth of democracy, which nobody really does like either 5,000 years ago, not today, but living organisms like cities or states with thousands of inhabitants require an effective organization of power and economics. And a major basis to keep economics successfully alive is the ability of the storage of information and data independently from place and time, and the ability to exchange these basics too. This we may call administration. Tools for storage of information were invented not only on one single place in the world, but everywhere these techniques must have been reliable, checkable, and guaranteed by the local power. The main task of these material was the making of constancy of the fleetingness of language. But in the early cases of such a constancy, it was important to store short and easy recognizable contents. As Hans Nissen has phrased, audit jocular, if you cannot bear in mind any more what is important or not, you have to find another solution. Write it down. Incidentally, we also should not forget, if the reason for such a fixing of ideas and informations once drop out, also the writing can cease to exist in history, as we see in some cases in Mesopotamia. Here's an example from Jarf al-Ahmar in Syria. If we now look on the area of the Middle East, we could wonder why a clay tablet has been used from the beginning on. To answer this question, let us look on the environmental conditions. Material for the fixing of informations was not unlimited, and on the other hand, one needed to use material that could survive a longer time span without an unintentional destruction. Clay seems to fulfill these qualifications quite well, because it is easily malleable in every respect, both in general and on its surface. It is durable if dried, and even in the case of fire, as we know, it is rather an advantage. But this may be the most important fact. Clay is nevertheless available in unlimited masses, and it occurs not everywhere, at least not in the condition one needs to write. Thus, to query such material, to transport it, and to treat it for usage are essential scribal techniques, even in the case if not the scribe did it by himself. If we speak about clay, we should first have a look on the different forms which were used. Also, those objects commonly designated as proto-writing material, we already have seen some of them today, the so-called tokens, have been made from clay, of course. But if we talk about the time in question, the end of the 4th millennium BC, we have to recognize that also other witnesses of attempts to store information were in usage. We have to add seals made of stone or other material, which also served as external memories. Or also one example on the right side, a tablet of gypsum. Sealing with stamps or cylinder seals was possible on the surface of clay lumps on boxes, baskets, or jar stoppers, and even on clay lumps used to lock doors and on bullae which served as containers for tokens. Here is an example, what Jerry tried to show you this morning in our collection. But here you also can see the back side of this with the traces of the door. And the next one, one of the bullae in our collection. Furthermore, we find little tags with holes and little signs on it. In these cases, we can think on transitory containers like boxes and similar things if we use these tags. And finally, we see the actual tablet of clay. Even more material is imaginable, but not preserved like skins, wood, or even papyrus. But if we do not know such memories today, we do not have to exclude it completely. If we only count together all preserved clay just mentioned, we have a group of more than 5 different means for the enduring storage of information, tokens and bullae, several kinds of sealings, tags and tablets. All of them used partly together in a certain time span at the end of the fourth millennium BC. And finally, it was the clay tablet which ruled them all. The reason for this lays probably in the fact that the tablet can combine several tasks of all the mentioned materials in one. Now, there's an example of a sealed tablet. But now let's go to the clay tablet in general. On the first view, they seem to be quite similar. Their outer appearance shows common characteristics. It has at least 2 greater surfaces where signs can be placed by the technique of writing, and even the edges can be used. And in the normal case, it has an extremely good manageability by the human hand, easily fitting the requirements of writing. And from here to the forming of the tablet by hand. Only a certain minimal size is necessary to handle it comfortably. But before writing, the process of forming has to be carried out as a technique too. For this operation, we also find some traces in the material of Uruk. Here you will see the folds which are left by the handmade of the tablets. The result of this forming process is in general that we get tablets of more or less similar forms, but different in shape and thickness, like this choice will demonstrate. Regarding the sizes, we find a certain ratio of the text and surface, which is a phenomenon we can recognize throughout the whole history of cuneiform writing. In almost all cases, the tablet is quite suitable to establish the necessary text. Probably this can be called one of the most important techniques and skills we find in the writing of cuneiform done by the professionals. This is remarkably insofar as the scribe has to form the tablet just before the start of the actual writing. But we do not find this, what we call writing. We also find some examples of erasing the text, like you can see on this picture. Now let's go to the formatting of the surface. Another skill is the formatting of the text. The content has to be placed by the writing in a way that a user can overlook the information, mostly with one short view. And in the case of more text with complex informations, it is a strong demand to organize the visible surface. Traces of this managing system can be found from the very beginning on, because even the oldest tablets have sometimes such divisions made by the stylus. You find the traces here, here, and also there. And it's just here that we can see the importance of free left plays in the ratio to the text serving as an optical managing tool. What we can see can be called the line, or the first step of lineage as an assistance for the user. The lineage of divisions will be shown in the following choice. Simply lineage by using the round-shaped end of the stylus, as we have seen in the numerical tablets. That is the same end with which the numbers were written. But here, in this choice of Uruk 4 tablets, we can see the corresponding of the size to the tablet. Organizing text and content follows simple rules if the tablet is small. Then a single stroke is sufficient, sometimes even underlined by the round end of the stylus, as we can find it in this example. If the tablet is bigger, the written text in lines or boxes will be arranged one after another until the end of the tablet, and then also arranged in columns, as we can see. While the lines are divided normally by a single stroke, the columns can be done by a double one. And if we get younger, if the text gets more complex, as in Uruk 3 examples, usually the rule is still the same, but columns of less content, or even free ones, can be added as an early kind of colophon serving as an eye catcher. Or more complex. More complexity of the text is processed by using also sublines, sub-boxes, or sub-columns. In general, the text is written in a higher density, the signs to get smaller. But now from the surface to the writing utensil or tool. To get an idea of the writing process, we have to talk about mainly used utensil or tool. If you have a cursory view on the tablets, you will see small lines which seem to be made by a very peaked stylus, like this. Sometimes it looks like a short drawing, and accordingly you find reconstructions of the earliest writing literature. But is this true? The best we can do is to try writing as the ancients have done. When using a peaked stylus, the material causes some problems. Indeed, the signs come clear by little emissions, but little emissions of the wet clay were left on the surface. Later on, they disappear, but at least in some cases, we should find traces of it. But this is never the case. Looking closer, we also can see that the signs are not completely round-shaped or curved-shaped, as they may appear in the beginning. Every little element is written rather by very small ledgers. And to understand how these ledgers will be formed, we have to look on the attempts which have been made to form cuneiform signs in younger times. This study, for instance, was made by Leopold Messerschmidt in 1906, where he pointed out that every wedge has been written by using only one side of the normal reed stylus with very characteristic features. As you can see here in the Assyrian drawing, this is the writer of the tablet. He uses papyrus or things like that. After Messerschmidt, the stylus was cut from a bigger reed, and the form left was as follows. One side was the outer side of the reed with the plain surface. The other two sides of the triangle form profile still possess the inner structure of the reed, visible on the capillary lines or grooves. What I mean here, in this way. There are also the traces of the reed within the single wedge in clay, to be seen bigger on this way. On the right side, the plain surface is still visible. The left side shows traces of the capillary grooves, and the top in the wedge shows the cut capillaries in the form of little dots. And two of the styluses of Messerschmidt still exist in our collection. If we use these forms of styluses, we will find the expected traces of writing in the experiment, even if we try to write archaic cuneiform. No material is to be seen as a kind of emission left on the surface. And if this is true, and I'm convinced it is, we have all reasons to say that the earliest writing is not a kind of drawing, but a real form of cuneiform writing in its strict sense. There are normal tablets of Uruk four times remaining this fact. But let us look for more traces under a microscope. Apparently, curved-shaped signs become different in form. Where you believe to see sketches or sketched lines, you find assembles of composed little pieces of stylus impressions, although sometimes the lines are really sketched indeed, like you can see here on the right side. Looking closer to some complicated compositions, you will find a group of many single elements. Looking closer now. Much better visible are these facts in the case of the cleaning the signs before looking on it. But I know that this can be a very time-consuming task, which cannot be done in every case. But I did it in one. You can see the same sign, Tuk 2, here on the right side, cleaned. So the well-known rounded elements of the signs will change into composed strokes, from simple lines up to forms of elaborated written elements to form a sign, as we know it from later epochs. But is this really a result of a reed stylus? Looking quite closer into the single wedges of a sign, the surprise is great. Clearly visible are the capillary grooves of the stylus as described before. We take the right one from Uruk 3, and we will find the grooves as traces within the single wedge here, or there, on this side. Remember where you have to find it, on which side of a single wedge. If this is the case, like in these examples of Uruk 3 tablets, which I have shown, we have to ask for Uruk 4 ones. And I have to confess that in the shortness of time in which I could undertake these examinations, I was able to find only one trace. To looking nearer, here, yes, we found it. Also here in Uruk 4 example. By the way, we should also recognize some different forms of used styluses, as the following traces show. Here are impressions of a very short one, but it seems so, and also here, maybe rounded form on the top of the stylus. They may have shorter cutted forms and sometimes also partly rounded, so that we can consider that probably mentioned form of Messerschmitt was not the only one in use, but surely this typical stylus has been a tool known in Uruk 4 already. The same examination of stylus traces display also the cutted end in Messerschmitt's way. If we look nearer into the numbers, you will find the cutting traces here in this case, or even the rounded cuts here. All these examples certainly exclude not the existence of some real rounded shapes side by side with the normal stylus forms, so that we can ascertain a possible coexistence of different tools for the writing. But on the other hand, we can see it here, but on the other hand, we have reason enough to declare that the earliest writing was a real cuneiform one. And if we talk about the actual writing techniques, now we should turn back to the tablets and their signs more generally. Strongly connected with the technique of writing is ergonomy. The complicated system of archaic writing in Uruk seems not really qualified for a quick writing, although we should keep in mind that with that system we have not an elaborated tool as we use it today. It is rather the very beginning of a cultural technique, and we have to expect the writing in somewhat primitive forms. Nevertheless, the system of Uruk has been in usage a long time, and its employment was successful. We also have seen that the later fine-developed writing of cuneiform has its roots from the earliest time on. But if we look on the history, we recognize that the epochs in question represent not a short time, but rather about 400 or 300 years, and it seems to be reasonable that certain changes in the process of writing must be detectable. One important rule can be posed on this problem as usual. The writing shows a general line from the complicated forms to much simpler ones, or with other words, a certain economization. We should expect a distinctive change from signs with relatively much elements to signs with less of them. But to demonstrate some of these examples, I want to show you some developments of signs step by step in order to clarify in which way this happened. But this maybe is not a linear development. The signs Udu, Utuan, Uruk 4. To counteract the impression that the Uruk signs are simple pictograms which represent the object they reflect, I will start with one of the best-known abstract examples, the sign Udu, sheep, and its relatives. As we have seen, also this sign was written at least partly with a reed stylus. If not exclusively, then predominantly. In Uruk 4, the curved form is common, as we can see here. This finds its continuation still in Uruk 3, and its form is a character throughout all the time. But looking closer, you will detect changes in handwriting. The sign becomes more and more simplified by the number of elements, and finally, we can see a so-called cursive form like this one here. One detail, the last picture shows a nearly embedded form into the lines of the box and the column of the tablets. That's what I mean. The sign is written nearly in the lines of the column and here in the lines of this part. The more figurative apparent sign Dug and its relatives, which means basically jar or container, is written in a similar way. Here from the Uruk 5 example, by setting elements one to another, partly curved, partly straight. The latter is clear evidence for the usage of the mentioned straight stylus. Dug converses to variant forms and expressions like kash. Another forms. And we see also the tendency to more simplified characters already in Uruk 4. The example of the sign Mud 3, also a jar form, meaning beer jar, shows analogical developments. Here a rounded form, still. But if we go far in the time, you will find such things. Now let's going back to a more abstract sign, Tug, garment, like this one. Here we find an affirmation of the already shown development in general. And turning back again to an alleged recognizable form like sang, head, the rule will be confirmated. At the beginning we have a real picture, maybe a picture, and at the end we will find a very simplified form. And some more examples with the sign up, for instance here. Now this is Pirig, and up we have here. And finally the sign She 3 in its changings. After we have made this journey through many examples of signs with their graphical changings, it should be obvious that the mentioned time span of about 400 years has left its traces in the forms of the writing, as we should have expected. This scribal technique is a process of adaptation and the necessities of handwriting, which we today mostly ignore because our hands or fingers are looking for the keys on the keyboard of a computer. The result now is every time the same. It was different just some 30 years ago when we still used the normal stylus or any other thing. What remains to be done? If we have seen the complicated settings of the single elements of signs in earliest cuneiform, we also should discuss the question of the direction of writing in the tablets in general by using our insights now. But this has to be left to another day because of the shortness of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your interesting and once again often forgotten field of research.